Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this Friday morning, a beautiful Friday morning here in southeast Kansas. Right now, 73 degrees, sunny skies as the sun is now rising. And we do have our guest on this morning. He is here the first Friday of every month. And we have Representative Doug Blex online. Mr. Blex, good morning. How are you doing today, sir?
Good morning. I think summer's here.
Yes, it is. It's going to be a warm one today. Going to be about 95 with indices near 100 today. So hopefully everybody will stay nice and hydrated out there if you have to be outside. Well, Representative Blex, there's been, you guys had to go back to special session on this past Wednesday to kind of hammer out some extra things. And we'll get to that here in just a minute. But first, you did want to talk about the revenue.
As expected, our revenue is down roughly about 20% from the year a year ago. We were down about almost $110 million over this same time last year, and that was income tax was about $62 million of that, and sales tax was about $27 million, down about 13%. But sales tax kind of held its own in terms of what revenue estimators thought. So that was kind of a good thing. And, of course, there was quite a bit of stay-at-home people that were ordered on Amazon, I guess. So our compensating use tax was fairly good. So that is some good news. But the bottom line of it is we're expected July 1, which is the start of our new fiscal year, to be down about $650 million in the hole just to start off. So that's not a good issue. So we're going to have to make some adjustments.
All right, and that's a big hole. That's a big hole to start in, but hopefully we can start digging out of it. And also, I was talking about the special session that began just this past Wednesday. And what are a few of the things that were discussed during this special session, sir?
Well, I'll kind of cover a little background on special session for your listeners' enjoyment. There's actually been a total of 23 special sessions over the years. The first one was in 1874 to address the grasshopper plague. And then we had one in 1884 to deal with foot and mouth disease. And then, of course, a recent one in 2016 was to deal with the school finance and Supreme Court under Governor Brownback. So a little bit of a history. It's actually a special session can be called by the governor or a petition by two-thirds of the legislators. It's for extraordinary circumstances, issues that come up, and they usually have a start date and a subject matter. This time it was 2 days, and they're actually different from, I had a lot of people ask me, so, well, why didn't you try to override the governor's veto that was done in the regular session? And legally, constitutionally, that is not allowed because you can't, whatever happens in the special session or regular session cannot be overridden by the special session, that you have to draft a new bill. So it's kind of a little bit of complex, fairly unique. We don't do it very often, thank goodness, but we did get a few things done. And part of that was getting the oversight on House Bill 20. Well, back up a little bit. The governor vetoed House Bill 2054, which we passed at the wee hours of the early morning after a 24-hour all-nighter on the floor when we adjourned. And there were some good parts of that bill. It was kind of a bundled-up bill that had a lot of topics in it. We had property tax transparency that she vetoed, delaying the penalty on property taxes until August was veto. And then another important one that was kind of a good thing for about $60 million would be to provide low interest loans to hurting Kansans for businesses and farmers. And those three were vetoed in addition to that 2054. And it got kind of contentious. You know, it's an election year, and undoubtedly politics come into play. And I think that the governor was still, I can't read her mind totally, but I think she was still upset over the fact that her signature bill, Medicaid expansion, did not get any action from the legislators. And rumor amongst the House was that, you know, she was trying to call a special session, veto those, and kind of maybe try to goad us into doing, making some mistakes and getting Medicaid expansion. And there was an amendment on the special session to allow insert Medicaid expansion, but it got beat down. Basically, we just don't have really enough money in it to deal with that. So it is a little bit different, but probably the big meat of the issue was the fact that we got $1.2 billion, and that's with a B, coming into the Kansas State Treasury from the Federal CARES Act, and that will basically, the governor kind of wanted to develop her hand-picked committee and deal with everything, how to spend that, you know, without any oversight. Well, constitutionally, the legislature is the one that's responsible for appropriating money and basically allowing the expenditures. The governor either approves it or vetoes it, whatever, and then the courts will check that out if there's an issue. That's kind of how the system's worked for a long time, worked well. And we basically put in the bill in 2016 that the State Finance Council will have oversight, and they must actually approve and have a vote of at least six members. And there's actually eight members on the State Finance Council, made up of the governor, as well as the House and Senate leadership, and the appropriations chair on both House and Senate. So it takes at least six votes to allow the governor to do that. There was quite a bit of bargaining by House leadership and the governor's office, and they reluctantly, kind of both sides reached an agreement on what the governor would sign and allow versus what we would allow. And so it was kind of a standoff. The governor certainly didn't get everything she wanted, and we certainly didn't get everything we want. But at least I think a couple issues have come out of it, not oversight on the spending. And we also put the governor cannot close any businesses or limit mass gatherings in the future. And that bill, that will be till September 15th, and then the emergency declaration will expire. And so I think one locally that kind of what we done, or what the governor had done, basically it rolled it back to the county health officer to have allow them in 105 counties to make the decision how they want to open it up. And I guess I have a little bit, a lot of counties have opened up totally in Kansas. I don't know exactly, but I know quite a few, particularly up in the northeastern area, have opened totally up. Some counties never even had COVID cases. And now we inserted the bill that the county health officer is not the lone ranger. County commissioners now will have oversight to either approve, deny, whatever the recommendation from the county health officer. And that's a good thing, and I'm thinking there, and I think a good question to ask at a county commission meeting would be, and I thought about, I should have done that last week when we had ours, ask a question of how many in the room that are making decisions that have not received a paycheck since March 15th, because we have a lot of bureaucrats basically making decisions, and they've been on a payroll. I hear from a lot of hurting business owners, particularly small business owners, particularly barbershops, nail salons, which are now open on a limited basis, but they haven't received anything, and then our Department of Labor kind of failed them in getting their relief checks out. So that's been a big, huge issue.
Yeah, and I know, like you said, I know, like you said, there's some in the Northeast have opened. I do know Labette County and Chautauqua County. They've kind of they said they're. I think they're completely open now. Montgomery kind of doing still the fate. Montgomery County still kind of doing the phased approach right now, everything should be opened up here in the next couple of weeks. Today, did the session end yesterday, or is today the last day for the special session?
We got out about 3:30, 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. So it ran. A lot of it was waiting on Senate action and concurrence with House bills. A lot of hours, but not terribly a lot of votes. We had a lot of trying to insert amendments from Medicaid expansion to everything else you can think of, just kind of a delay tactic. Like I say, it's election year. You want to make your base happy, then you can say, hey, I introduced this, and it didn't go. So a lot of that went on that yesterday.
So, again, the special session that started on Wednesday, and a few things that were hammered through. Of course, like you heard Representative Blake say, basically it was kind of a compromise. Not everybody got what they wanted, but both sides, would you say that both sides did get something they wanted in the in this bill that was put together yesterday?
Yes, and our goal was to, you know, preserve the health and safety of Kansas, as well as, you know, focus on economic impact and see to get us out of that. And, you know, we also in that bill made a statement that the governor cannot close the schools without a notifying and getting approval vote from the Kansas Board of Education. When she closed schools last time, that really hurt just arbitrarily. I actually learned on the floor from my cell phone that the schools were closed. They didn't have time to prepare. A lot of them had food orders that had to be thrown out, as well as a lot of restaurants, same deal. So now the governor cannot close a school until they get an approval from Kansas Board of Education, which I think is probably a whole lot better. That always kind of fits in with my herd immunity. I think we let the schools stay open, let them young youthful bodies have a mild case, close the nursing homes, and stay away from grandpa and grandma as much. Probably be further down the road.
And you're saying that also one of the restrictions now that is the governor can't close businesses. What is the plan now for if something like that were to happen again to close businesses? And like you said, schools would be the Board of Education. But say like, you know, forbid something like this happens again with COVID-19. And what is the look of the process would be like if we were to close down businesses again?
Okay, the governor would actually have to call a meeting of the State Finance Council to get approval to do that. She could issue an executive order. There's got to be some consultation there on that. And it may be delayed a little bit, but I think we tripped the trigger maybe a little too quick last time. And, you know, that's... the process can still happen. It just has a little more input and a little more oversight from individuals that are involved in it. I know a lot of restaurants that had ordered a lot of food, and boom, they were closed, and they just basically had to throw it out. They didn't have storage capacity. So another issue I've got, boy, contact tracing, that's been a hot button. Currently, Dr. Lee Norman, the Secretary of ADHE, has been utilizing contact tracing. Basically, if I get it and I test positive, they can have the ability now to check my cell phones and to see all the other cell phone numbers around that I've been around and utilize that. That is really a privacy invasion. We passed some restrictions on that, that they can't force you to do that. They can't charge you criminally or civilly if you elect out. There is a button on your cell phones. If you're pretty tech savvy, you can actually turn that off. It has some good features, but at the same token, it is a strong invasion of privacy, and a lot of native Kansas, boy, they just don't like that. So I got a lot of emails on that, and as well as the immunity issue we had passed in the original bill to provide some lawsuit immunity from businesses, restaurants and nursing homes, hospitals. Well, the governor, for some reason, exempted nursing homes from that liability immunity, which separated them from hospitals and other health care. And that caused a lot of grief. We tried to insert an amendment the last hour, but we were so scared, and we were told the leadership, this is what the governor wants, this is what she's agreed on, and if we start messing with it, we could very well lose everything. So what it ended up, we kind of, a lot of us, held our nose and voted for some things that we thought stunk in the bill, but yet we knew for the good of Kansas and the overall good, we had to get something done.
So it's basically both sides got a little bit of everything. But yeah, that is definitely, I agree with you on that about the trace contact. That's a big invasion of privacy where they basically can just go into your cell phone and, like you said, see all your contacts. You know, I absolutely agree with you on that. That's a pretty big invasion of privacy. Well, we've been talking to Representative Doug Blex here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. And, sir, since the special session is over, what are your plans looking for the rest of the summer?
Well, I'm kind of one of the more fortunate ones. I did not get a challenger in either the primary or general election, so I can maybe help a few other people involved getting election. We're having quite a bit of turnaround, not so much locally in our local area, but across the state. There's, as usual, quite a few representatives and senators that are not running for re-election. I think it's kind of critical this year to have some veteran people there, because we're going to have a big plateful next year, the impact of this, and we're going to have to deal with some really tough choices and spending cuts this next year. So I'll still be working. It'd be nice to get out and, you know, get with people again and talk with them about what they want, what they need, and start our plans for next year's legislative work.
Well, Representative Blex, I appreciate you coming on today, talking about what has been going on at special session, kind of behind the scenes that people don't know about. I appreciate you coming on today talking about that. And we will speak to you again the first Friday of next month.
All righty. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you very much, Representative. All right, that was Representative Doug Blex right here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. We enjoy talking to him the first of every month. Always gives us kind of a revenue report, and we love to talk to him about that. All right, coming up here in just a few minutes, we'll have your Fox News at the top of the hour. And then at 8:10, around 8:10, we will have Charles and Gary Skank in from Skank Insurance. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.